interrupting the current neo-Euclideo climate challenge, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 611. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed. It is pretty much that simple. As you've been listening all these years, and you finally get it in your head that this is what they're doing to us, and we just can't sit back. And as I've said, the way they've got it worked out, Second Amendment's not going to be much help. But the benefit of not being a spectator is becoming lean and mean, and in a good way. Scientists have created another, they say. Scientists have created an obesity vaccine that will allow you to eat at whatever you want. The vaccine that will be followed by a K after it, the body becomes immune to weight gain. Imagine that you can eat whatever you like without fear of losing your abs. Because that's the most important thing, too, folks. This may become a reality very soon. Scientists have developed a vaccine that prevents the accumulation of fat in the body, protecting the body from obesity. The novelty acts differently than Ozempic, which provides a longer feeling of fullness and thus prevents overeating. Instead, the new injection makes the body itself immune to weight gain. Let me just interject right there. If you're thinking about this, remember the communicable disease law requires a virus. Is that what your weight gain is? That they have a vaccine? And the vaccine is supposed to stop that virus, by definition, as a matter of law. So keep putting this together as they keep pumping us for the new stuff that's really not what it is. But researchers from the University of Colorado conducted an experiment in which experimental mice were injected with Mycobacterium vaccae, beneficial bacteria found in cow's milk and soil. The injections made all rodents immune to weight gain, no matter how healthy and balanced their diet was. What would they have get weight gain under a healthy, balanced diet? Anyway, look past that one. Summing up their research, scientists noted that their vaccine, quote, effectively prevents excessive weight gain caused by Western eating habits, close quote. The vaccine is planned to be tested on humans, you animals, in the near future. So eat anything you want. Don't gain any weight. They sure like to make consumers out of you, don't they, you rodent? Mycobacterium vaccae, beneficial bacteria found in cow's milk and soil. You know, maybe that's the reason I ate earthworms when I was a little goat. And I've never had any weight problems. Was it genes, worms, or raw milk? Maybe it's up for you to decide. Isn't that interesting? Raw milk. Maybe that's why they're against it. While we're looking at a glass of milk here, look over to the other cart container that's sometimes near it. A glass of milk every day can reduce the risk of bowel cancer by 5 times. Coffee with milk in the morning now saves from cancer, they tell us. Doctors have concluded that consuming 300 milligrams of calcium daily reduces the chance of developing the disease by 17%. People with lactose intolerance should not worry. Calcium is also found in alternative types of dairy products, as well as some types of fish, legumes, and greens. We believe that calcium may protect against colorectal cancer by binding to bile acids and free fatty acids in the colon, which helps reduce their ability to cause cancer, scientists noted. So no fat and or bowel cancer, apparently, and what raw milk helps to control, apparently. Why would they want to not allow us to drink it? Maybe they should be working on producing raw milk without the bad beasties instead of killing all the good ones off, you think? Until then, find your natural alternatives to the death cult. It isn't just the milk, it's just calcium. And there's a couple of states of it, so be careful you get the right one. But there's interesting stuff here, and while we're having to ingest and digest all this stuff to get its benefits, we then have a warning. Commercial tea bags release millions of microplastics entering human intestinal cells. And this raises the game and the pitch of this problem, and it starts to meet what we've been hearing, that there's microplastics in our bodies, and they have been. And this starts to maybe be the reason why. But listen how insidious this is also becoming with their presence. UAB research has characterized in detail how polymer-based commercial tea bags released millions of nanoplastics and microplastics when infused. The study shows the first time the capacity of these particles to be absorbed by human intestinal cells and are thus able to reach the bloodstream and thereby spread throughout the body. Plastic waste pollution represents a critical environmental challenge, which increasing implications for the well-being and health of future generations. Not yours, the future ones.
See how they do that?
Food packaging is a major source of micro and nanoplastics. They even have a mnemonic for it, MNPLs. Micro and nanoplastics, contamination and inhalation and ingestion is the main route of human exposure. A study by the Mutant Genesis Group of the UAB Department of Genetics and Microbiology has successfully obtained and characterized micro and nanoplastics derived from several types of commercial available tea bags. The paper is published in the Journal of Chemosphere. The UAB researchers observe that when these tea bags are used to prepare an infusion, huge amounts of nano-sized particles and nanofilamentous structures are released, which is an important source of the exposure of these MNPLs. The tea bags used for the research were made from polymers nylon 6, polypropylene, and cellulose. And the study shows that when brewing tea, polypropylene releases approximately 1.2 billion particles per milliliter. To characterize the different types of particles present in the infusion, a set of advanced analytical techniques such as scanning electron microscopy and transmission electron microscopy, infrared spectroscopy, dynamic light scattering, laser Doppler velocimetry, and nanoparticles tracking analysis were used. Quote, we have managed to innovatively characterize these pollutants with a set of cutting-edge techniques, which is a very important tool to advance research and their possible impacts on human health, said UAB researcher Alba Garcia. Interactions with human cells observed for the first time. The particles were stained and exposed for the first time to different types of human intestinal cells to access their interaction and possible cellular internalization. The biological interaction experiment showed that mucus-producing intestinal cells had the highest uptake of micro and nanoplastics, with the particles even entering the cell nucleus that houses the genetic material. The results suggest a key role in intestinal mucus in the uptake of these pollutant particles and underscores the need for further research into the effects of chronic exposure can have on the human health. Quote, it's critical to develop standardized test methods to assess MNPL's contamination release from plastic food contact materials and to formulate regulatory policies to effectively mitigate and minimize these contaminations. As the use of plastic in food containers continues to increase, it is vital to address MNPL's contamination to ensure food safety and protect public health, the researcher added. And those of you that have been researching this and or all these chemicals that comes from these plastics understand that they are also have hormonal counterindications as well. These would be the basics of how your cells would operate. And here we find them right into the matter that's in the cell itself. And so this took on a little bit of a bigger issue to me. Hadn't heard that it was that intrusive. Yet I'd heard that there were reports that it was in generally. So take cognizance of this. Apparently we really need to maybe go back to glass and metal containers. It might help out a lot. Raw milk, folks, in glass bottles. Maybe that's what we need to do. From plastic in your intestine to carbon fiber to the heart. Watch out. These things are be everywhere. And this is another unseen type of danger. If you're not aware, we're not too concerned because they don't seem to be around, but they're increasing in numbers. Emergency heart surgery for a boy after a drone fell from the sky at Lake Eola on Saturday night from Orlando Sentinel. Drones collided, fell from the sky, and hit a little boy after technical difficulties during a holiday show at a Lake Eola Saturday night left him fighting for his life during an emergency heart surgery. At approximately 6:48 p.m., the Orlando Fire Department responded to reports that a person was injured by a drone at an annual show at Lake Eola, according to the press release by the city on Sunday afternoon. Fire personnel were already at the park, staffing an emergency tent that was approximately 50 feet away from the scene of the incident, and began to render aid to the individual immediately, the release said. In a post on Facebook, Adriana Edgerton said her son was hit by one of the falling drones in the chest and shared a photo of him laying in the hospital bed with blood on his lip. "I've never been so scared," Edgerton said in the post. "I can't believe a drone show at Lake Eola Park, Orlando, Florida turned into this. I'm scared, terrified for my baby." Edgerton said her son was going into emergency heart surgery on Sunday and said the drone company in the city will be held accountable. City officials said that the Orlando Police Department will help obtain evidence for the FAA investigation and have made contact with Edgerton and her son in the hospital. So note to self, those things can hurt. We tend to think they're just buzzing little things, but they lightweight. We hear they're out there, but apparently they crash down and burn, and we see them getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But they're not getting too far afield. There's been, appears to me, some close-up photographs of these things since this big drone scare that's been coming on. There's some pretty creative people making some pretty creative ships, if you will, these so-called UFOs, models, so it seems to me. And they understand the camera position and perspective, and they're utilizing all that to great effect. In one craft I saw that they have these drones, it looked like it had maybe eight props on it, but they were hidden within the body, ducted fans, and it was quite ornate, quite cool looking. A lot of lights and all, like we see. The picture made it look like it was a monster mothership, but it was probably just about 10 feet up in the sky with the right perspective in a city walkway that made it look bigger than buildings. But you can suspend your own belief to have fun with that. So yeah, these drones appear. I wondered when these would start happening. Flying blades on those things that are not cut ducted, and then even so, you can get your hand stuck inside one maybe when they come down. So maybe we start stringing our drone tennis rackets with some heavier fiber, more maybe metal cables to get rid of those things before they hit anybody. And in this issue going down, on these drones, you're supposed to register all that, get it all registered with the government. Remember, regulation is confiscation potentially. In this case, it's liability also. You can be tracked down for it. And then they can put all these rules on what's going on. And so one of these tools of the future is the internet. And Biden signs bill intended to push digital ID in federal agencies. At the tail end of the Biden-Harris administration, a bill designed to advance digital ID in federal agencies got pushed through the legal process. Congress last week passed the GSA Technology Accountability Act, and Biden signed it into law on December 30th. Proponents hail the new law as a potential way to usher in, quote, effective and inclusive governance. But that will depend on the level of support it manages to garner going forward from both the public and private sectors, and of course, the federal agencies themselves. So I want to highlight this, why this is even kind of news. We've been hearing about this push for ID, but here's the point. It just really can't be shoved down your throat. You have to participate. They get your buy-in in lots of ways. But here you have this news article. The notice to you is that it can't be shoved down your throat, and you do have, in large part, you do have the ability to say no. Like I said, they'll hide that yes in all kinds of ways as well, so be aware and be on the lookout. The law is about setting digital ID standards, and from there, allowing for efficient and secure management of digital ID. Remember, you become that property. You have no property yourself. They have it in your ID, and you'll be happy and like it. It becomes your whole life. More than anything, the latter is sorely needed in order to get the public on side. We're not talking about the government here, but that's exactly who has to come on in order to keep you from services when you don't have it. The public really is not you, it's the government. The same public that is getting increasingly wary of that digital ID will mean in terms of not only security, but also privacy and protections related to a plethora of civil rights. If that's what you're just focused on, there's a whole lot more than just your privacy related to this interaction. And don't forget, they're not talking about that third-party liability. Notice it's absent even till now, all the reading I've done, not even in there. The bill amending Title 40 of the U.S. Code, as the first introduced in May as H.R. 7524, to address spending earmarked for, in this instance, information technology management. The bill required the General Services Administration to report to Congress each year on projects funded by the Federal Citizen Services Fund and Acquisition Services Fund, H.R. 7524 description said. Now, the gist of the bill that has just become law is interpreted as a stepping stone for modernizing digital identity frameworks and the cornerstone of modern governance. If that just didn't restate everything I've ever told you about what's coming in, there it was right there, right in that bill that's already now been signed, and Biden done it. And all your congressmen help, and all your congresswomen help, so. And the Senate's help. And that means your state's help. The law's main goal is said to be standardization and integration. Inclusiveness here. Integration of digital identity standards for those as those are applicable to the host of federal agencies in order to facilitate the creation of a single digital identity. You thought Real ID was bad. This in turn provides different agencies with a streamlined way of with accessing information about users that range from public health initiatives, in quotes, initiatives, to issues pertaining to cyber security. That's for the government. Strict privacy safeguards is what the law promises, but those subjected to it are expected to accept and embrace those promises. Funding is also provided to promote engagement, awareness, and acceptance. Now, where have we heard these same techniques and methods used in maybe many other places? They were doing that during the great COVID swindle as well. They do it on anything. That's SMART. That's the building resilience for them against you. And they break down all your barriers and borders. And so if you have an opinion, it's not going to stand up. This is one of the important things about having the civil rights or the civil liberties, I would say. Your civil rights is the right for the government to make extortion. The civil liberties would be more into the constitutional stuff or those things that were reserved by the people themselves against and from the government as we move through, whether that's the federal or the state government. Online attacks of malicious actors from the category of those looking to make money off vulnerabilities or exploit the wide-ranging field of national security are underlined in the act. I'll bet those national security things are right up on top for the government to help get you to engage with them. Be aware that you're engaging and accept what they're going to do to you. The law mandates compliance with existing privacy laws, such as the Privacy Act of 1974, and introduces additional measures to enhance transparency and accountability. Is that ever going to happen? Have you ever seen any accountability on the government's end? No. Report saying regarding strict privacy protection. Strict privacy protections would be not being involved at all. So let's go there right off the bat before you start thinking that they're actually trying to help you. So another knife in the back here. The Medal of Surrender by Biden the Medal of Surrender, honoring globalism's high priests. Where do you think that digital ID is coming from and going to? And people are noticing that the Medal of Freedom that Joe Biden issued last week went to some pretty scurrilous people. Joe Biden's Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony wasn't a tribute to American values. It was a coronation of globalism. Hillary Clinton and George Soros, architects of chaos, disguised as progress, now wear medals on for their service to America. The irony? Their legacy is one of weakening American sovereignty and stability, sacrificing the nation on the altar of globalists' ambition. Hillary Clinton, the self-styled stateswoman, left a trail of destruction in her wake. Libya reduced to an open-air slave market, Syria engulfed in bloodshed, and Ukraine plunged into civil war. Her service wasn't to the American people, but to the interests of empire, ensuring a compliant world order through bombs and coups, all while pretending it was about freedom and democracy. Behind which head you've heard, democracy is the weapon. And then there's George Soros, the maestro of manufactured revolutions. His billions funded color revolutions that toppled governments, destabilized nations, plunged societies into chaos, all under the guise of philanthropy. From Eastern Europe to Latin America, Soros has turned civil society into a weaponized tool for regime change. His reward? A medal for helping dismantle the very sovereignty that underpins the republic. But let's not forget the supporting cast, Bono, the globalist minstrel serenading the masses with songs of faux solidarity, and Jane Goodall, whose humanitarian work now echoes the depopulation narratives of the green elite. This isn't a celebration of freedom, but a grotesque victory lap for those who sold America's future to the highest bidder. Let me remind you, and the United States is honoring that. This government, at this point, honors that very takedown. The truth is stark. This wasn't about honoring service to America. It was about honoring service to the global agenda. The Clinton and Soros didn't strengthen America. They hollowed it out, ensuring its submission to the transnational elite. The empire they served isn't the American Republic. It's the empire of control, chaos, and capital. I'm saying this word chaos a couple times here, it becomes a underlying theme again in this broadcast. Remember the motto. In awarding these medals, Biden has exposed the farce of his administration. It's not about leadership or sovereignty. It's about locking America into a system where it serves rather than leads. And for this betrayal, the architects of the decline get a round of applause and a gold-plated thank you. But that's the plan, isn't it? So trust the plan, folks. That's the plan. That's what they've been doing. That's what I've been broadcasting about. I've been showing you all, explaining where you can find the forms for yourself, the laws, the codes. They've been there for a long time. Well, you can see Clinton, Bill Clinton, the president, it goes back before him. And it goes back before that, but we can find the laws being put into place right after the beginning 70s. And I'm talking not federal. I'm talking they're put in place in the states. Earning another medal of surrender, or maybe it's just the rats fleeing the ship, Kyrgyzstan appears to become a little less infested with the vermin plaguing the ship-o state as we hear Justin Trudeau steps down as a Liberal Party leader. And then he did something more fantastic. He stepped down from his prime ministership. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced his resignation as the head of the Liberal Party of Canada. Trudeau also declared that he will resign as the prime minister as soon as the new leader of the Liberal Party. And he did that, but then he's also proroguing the Canadian Parliament until March 24th. That's a political move. So they just replace the people. There's not going to be a vote coming up for y'all, but this is how they try to keep the power when it's all going south, I suppose, Governor. Trudeau, who led the party for 11 years, made his announcement as his popularity in the country nearly hit rock bottom. Captain O'Captain Trudeau is caught trying to ground the ship of state, though, in this article. The government, the Canadian Parliament's Public Accounts Committee, had been expected to hold a meeting on January 7th to consider the motion of no confidence in the Prime Minister addressing Trudeau's government. So there's your political pressure. I'm going to assume this no confidence consideration is to continue the pressure for this global young WEF leader, this tinker tyrant Trudeau, to disembark that prime ministership on his own. It was also that sideways pressure here. Or he'll be thrown off or forced to walk the plank of that ship of state there. So I would say, with this chaos going on there and the instability, it's time to mobilize the crew to help clean your deck, Swabby. The faster to throw him out completely. His whole influence needs to be worked on by those of you up there. It's the momentum that you're looking at. Right now, the momentum is good for you. And then get him thrown out into a small rock outcropping in the South China Sea that he is so fond of threatening good people in Canada with. There's a shake-up going on, folks. And we're going to be kind of mentioning Trump, but the people, don't underestimate your power as the people. This is not as obvious, but it's the people that are fed up. This is they're pissing off the natives. And so now we're seeing it's a slow burn on that. But this is the momentum that those of you in Kanukistan can start to use, I would hope, and start grab that tiller for the ship of state while it's in chaos. And don't let the next guy come in that's probably not much different. He's just wearing a different costume. And I have for you to read the Prime Minister Trudeau's resignation speech in full, if you're interested, and he announced Monday his resignation as the Prime Minister of Liberal leader. It's a full statement, not just truncated. You can see what he's got to say, if it matters. But I won't bore you with it. I'm just going to mention it there. The WEF governor of the 51st state of the United States is gone. Long live the WEF governor, it seems to me. Again, unless you step up and use this momentum. One thing, though, that remains with the Tinker's exit here is a chilling law that lets the government censor user-generated content. Now, I've talked about these laws coming up, and now they're coming into force. So when I was telling you that they're locking things down, keeping you from being able to mobilize, this is part of the communication destruction for you, and you may have to take this into account and may have to address this. The bill will hurt Canadian creators and users, benefit mainstream media outlets, and make it difficult for small platforms to operate. So think about their control. Again, that third-party control as well. They don't come directly at you somehow. They can go through where you have to go. And this is part of why, a while back, it occurred to me we have to go decentralized, not with the one they promote, the one we make, more like a federated system. And start putting information, every one of us starts putting information out for others to find. And then we have an app, if you will, to locate all that. And keep all this going, because they'll always put on a money limitation, and you'll hear that here. But Canada's Online Streaming Act, Bill C-11 now, it was 10. This is now a next step. Remember, I talked earlier, in the beginning here, the modernization of the digital ID. Remember, I told you it was modernization, actually, the coalescing of the enemy's power against us. In all those modernization acts in 2010, you're watching the ID modernization. They're bringing it up to comply and comport with the future that they want. This is that next type of thing here. C-11 is one of several recent attempts by Western governments to crush online speech while claiming they support free expression, and I'm not going to go too much with this Western, Eastern government stuff. All the governments, wherever you look, are controlling and have learned that they need to control. Over in Russia, you can't even hardly get out. They claim that there's some things that are running, but Russia has made it so they can close off the entire world outside of their own private networking system in the country. And then within it, it's control. So I don't necessarily say Western governments here. This is governments are doing this. The future that they want is on tap and running very fast against us. The bill is being pushed by Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez, a politician who believes in unregulated speech erodes the foundation of democracy. Well, good, because America is a representative republic if we look from this side of the border. So I'd have to tell them, go pound sand. Get your VPNs ready, folks. And whether y'all up there in Kanukistan become the 52nd state of the United States, maybe you should consider this before agreeing. If you all have a choice in the art of the steal, right, Trump? U.S. faces spike in violent homegrown extremism, Homeland Security chief. When I said to pay attention to this, I'm not really telling you to pay attention to the homegrown extremism. I'm watching you say, look at this Homeland Security chief and what they make up. The United States has been faced with a significant increase in violent extremism and persistent threat of homegrown terrorism for the past 10 years, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas said on Sunday. Can I call your attention that homegrown terror was actually created 9/11 by the government in the United States government's war of terror against you and the world, giving every excuse. So this report only goes back to 10 years, and it's not focused on the right terrorist. The country has a very difficult threat landscape at the moment, which means that not only federal and local officials, but the residents as well need to be aware of it and take precaution to prevent violence, the Homeland Security chief added. And I'm going to say, yeah, you look at that Homeland Security chief and the terror that the FBI is telling you they're going to plan to bring down upon you. And you have a very difficult time. They're telling you this threat landscape is very difficult for you, the local residents, the local officials, to deal with. First of all, you likely won't believe it. You won't understand the dynamic. You won't take the time to learn. And that's against us. And we think it's that guy that's in the news against us instead of the government itself. So this article really is a promise by the United States government intends and plans to help commit violence. Jurisdictionally, the federal government is foreign to the states, and certainly we the people. It declared terrorists in its act of terror in the beginning, 9/11. Hasn't gone away. It's not going on. And then the article cited here the New Orleans event killing 14 people and the Tesla Cybertruck exploding in front of the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. It was killing the driver and injuring 7 others. And I would take a little, without getting too far afield, I would take a little issue. Was that driver actually killed himself? There's some video I saw that may show a muzzle flash, but I'm not so sure that's true either. Any kind of an ignition system with the vapors would have caused that to happen. So remember that was an autonomous truck. The Cybertruck is a fully autonomous rig. So I don't know, we keep talking, hearing this stuff in the news, but they're pointing to certain instances, and yet we tend to shrug our shoulders about all the terror that the government itself is putting upon us. And both of those events have the fingerprints and earmarks of government influence or execution, to my mind. And again, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying the evidence is out, for definitive evidence is out. It's wide open. And I can attribute as much government interference and potential here of what I've seen so far as any other thing I've heard so far about it. And that's I didn't mention last week about when considering the suicide. Remember, it wasn't really mentioned the Cybertruck was a suicide. And then as we came days later, in fact, my consideration of that turned to be true or truer. Again, we don't know that the evidence hasn't been created as well, which would make another twist on all this. That suicide as a cover for what was done and the Cybertruck that could have delivered him there would answer how Matthew Leibesberger could have been found shot with a gun at his feet before those fireworks start and still arrived as a special delivery package to that hotel. And as I said last episode, these events might be used to build up each other to promote a narrative that the government might use to fear everyone to the plausibly impose those more controls on we the people, or to cover other government shenanigans. That's going, such as the debt problem, such as the possibility of going to war without a declaration, expanding on the atrocities of the Zio neo-clowns that they're committing here already. Just cover that all up. We get a fear for what's happening around us. It's terrorism and being ruled by, you know, that the word terrorism is actually not what we see in the statutes. The Pedestrian Dictionary defines it as being ruled by a system of government through fear, intimidation, or dread. And that is come home, is home. They've identified almost exactly what I said last week. They're going to use these to build up, and the next week we get a story. But we should be very careful of the homegrown extremism. And, most people would think it was one of us, the people, and I have tended to look at it's the people in the government that are doing this. And part of that is because it doesn't stop. It doesn't have a stop at all. There's no effort to stop it, ever. On the world international stage, literal genocide is not stopped. And every obligation, whether you want to believe in the ICC as a jurisdiction or not, as I said, there was 15 judges, given the title, they looked into international law, they all unanimously came out and said there's genocide going on. Now you have, as nations, as people, essentially, they went and stopped at the non-governmental organization, they said, you all have the duty to stop this. That's just international law. That's not them telling you anything. That's international law. And so, whether you believe in the ICC or not is irrelevant. They came to a conclusion that I told you months and months before. They'd have to come to that conclusion. So what am I saying? I'm so smart? No, you're just going to read. It's all right there for us to know if we want to be an educated public, which I've been advocating over and over and over. And as I get that, I start to feel myself get all uptight about it. There's a lot of people that don't want to take the work to do that for themselves. And so that's going to be our problem. That really is going to be a problem. And so, this is like coming out after the next week. I said they're going to be building up. Well, here they come. They wrap it up in a nice tiny bow and fear you. Now, you know, behind the woodshed, you listen to me, behind the woodshed, you're probably not afeared. That's not the point. We're not the only people. The few people that listen behind the woodshed, we're just not a population, I guess, that's going to be very influential anyway. And as I told you, we saw it in the Great Kobe Swindle. 80% of the population of the world went away against us, against reason, against critical thought, against action that would protect them, against challenging officials. None of the Second Amendment would apply anyway, and 80% of the population did not do that, and the rest did not do that. We just were more the contrarian than the someone asserting our power as a people of reserve power, and that's everywhere because the bottom line is international law says every people have a right to alter or abolish their government as they see fit. Their oppressor. Maladministration of government. You heard that come out of the ICC as well. Self-determination. This is not fantastical stuff. This has been known since they wrote the Constitution of the United States and before. So why I come behind the woodshed and it's almost sounded like I'm broaching this stuff for the first time to people when they turn away. Maybe not my listener, but lots of other people that don't seem to listen or follow in these various social media platforms. They do not engage. No, they'd rather listen to someone like AJ. Like he just did it again. We'll get to maybe a story of the fire, something about the fire. I just want to remind you that's all been talked behind the woodshed about what's happening now with the fires. He comes out, misstates the condition, says Trump supported it. I know all about that condition that he said that Trump supported, and I sent him back Alex Jones back a message. You got two words wrong here. Now, who am I supposed to know more than what I read the National Fire Policy? Do you think AJ's read it? You think he would inform his listeners? No. But they don't want to be informed, apparently, because he's got lots of them. And they don't show up behind the woodshed. Well, very few. I'll just say that. Very few. And so we look at these things in the world, and we are, morally, we know they're wrong. We don't need a lawyer telling us. We don't need a judge telling us. Again, like Comey swindle. We knew there was a real problem about being forced to do anything. But not much of anything came of that. And even now I see people, they want to arrest Fauci. Okay. I already told you about Rand Paul's contribution to Fauci. So I don't see much happening. I think it's just more points to get people excited. But in the meantime of the Biden's last motions here, his death throes, quivering in the last bits of his dementia, however that's jab caused or not. Just in time, the Congress here, we didn't see the chaos out of the government. The nation wasn't thrown into a constitutional chaos as was reported, but was possible again. Remember the pumping the chaos angle all the time, constitutional problems. Congress may not come together to do what it was supposed to do. So we're so fortunate that people won't now be so stirred to alter or abolish this organized crime syndicate posing as a government thinly veiled to hide its run by the Zionist cartel. So fortunate here, aren't we? U.S. Congress officially certifies Trump's election victory over presiding Kamala Harris. Did you hear that? Over presiding Kamala Harris? What happened to Biden? United States Congress, in joint session on Monday, certified the results of the 2024 presidential election, officially declaring Donald Trump the 47th president of the United States. And I wasn't going to read this, but it's important in context of what I'm going to continue to say here today to let us know that he is now official. The Congress stepped up like a good postal worker, and not even snow slowed them down to go make this vote create a potential constitutional problem. Quote, this announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for a term beginning on the 20th day of January 2025, close quote, Vice President Kamala Harris, who lost to Trump, said as she presided over the session. Trump's inauguration will take place on January 20th. So nothing stopping the Messiah from bringing global peace and justice now, right? But, well, except those Homeland Security planned foreign lone wolves running in packs of the media lies. And Trump admits here, as we're moving closer, he's doing an awful lot of action he's not supposed to be doing, it seems to me, dealing with the governments before he's been put in office. But maybe he's only doing it for friendship, a fine wine, and dinner, and that's all. Quiet parts out, part out loud, he says, that Trump admits hiring hawkish Mideast envoy because GOP's neocon wing wanted it. So I take him at his word here, and it's troubling just to hear this stuff. Again, hopium is strong here behind the woodshed. There's a chance. I said there was a chance, but it came out quick. He's going to start blowing it. And sure enough, it may not be, it may be he's not even in control, as it would, you would think when you're a bribed party, as we see who's put up the money and placed themselves around his neck and what the decisions are relative to those people and what Trump's doing. Trump admits hiring a hawkish Mideast envoy. Listen to the, eventually we get to the bottom. Listen to the reasoning though, if we can find it. Donald Trump has tapped another neoconservative for his cabinet, selecting Morgan Ortagas, his previous administration's ex-State Department spokeswoman, to serve as a deputy envoy of his Middle East peace team. President-elect made the announcement in an oddly resentful manner on his social media platform. Quote, early on, Morgan fought me for 3 years, but hopefully has learned her lesson. These things usually don't work out, but she has strong Republican support, and I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing it for them. Let's see what happens, Trump wrote. Let's see the President of the United States. Let's see. Hopefully, these things don't usually work, meaning he knows better. Does that sound like someone in charge? Does that sound like someone calling the shots? Does that sound like a guy with a plan? Or does that sound like someone playing a bit part in the ongoing Kabuki theater? Just a mouthpiece for the deep state throwing crumbs to we the people? Just like the first time? The same deep state he just said we need to the CIA while also claiming to take out the deep state CIA to clean the swamp? And with strong Republican support? He didn't ask you, though, did he? Because it's America first. Israel firster. Quote, she will hopefully be an asset to billionaire Steve Witkoff, Trump's pick for special Middle East envoy, and a great leader and talent as we seek to bring calm and prosperity to our very troubled region. I expect great results, and soon, Trump added. Remember, peace is achieved by the neocon, though subduing perceived or even fabricated enemies. For instance, removing all Palestinians from Gaza. In the wider Middle East, this would include all enemies of the genocidal tribe Zayril, rightfully resisting its Greater Israel project, and to justify unjustifiable wars. So it sounds to me like Trump hopes one Zayocon will help the other Zayocon go to war with Iran as the Zionist Federation movement advances to take over strategic areas of Syria. Israel just stole more of Syria's water, did you hear? It's now up to 40%. That's a war crime. But Trump doesn't care, because the war crime has strong Republican and Democrat uniparty support for expanding genocide. Just like the great Comey swindle Trump agreed to unleash upon you in his warp speed attack, violating federal and state laws. Can you see why bribery is a crime here? Even the states were bribed to carry out the attack, and they did. None acted to protect any one of you, as law requires. Absolutely unaccountable lawlessness. Absolutely. I've pointed it out from before it started. That's the interesting thing about being on air, being recorded, and you live and die by your word, I guess. It's out there. There's no equivocation on all this that went on, and we the people didn't go to the law to protect ourselves. But we're willing to go to lead. Out of a barrel of a gun, I suppose. To kill brown people, I suppose. See, a genocide is against the law. Is it? What law would there possibly be against the lawless out there? What accountability against those above the law, while everyone claims there is no such thing as being above the law? When do you start to believe your eyes that they were lying to you? Trump is not a strong leader, and this report proves it. Against his better judgment, he is unduly influenced to allow mediocrity in the minimum, lawlessness and war by domestic enemies or foreign illegal belligerent occupations that are funded by America at the other extremity. Her foreign policy positions are across the board hawkish, where Tagus has cheered an escalation of tensions with China at every turn, praised the 2020 murder of Iranian Quds Force Commander Qasem Soleimani, accused Russia of destabilizing the Middle East, and said the problem with the conflict in Ukraine isn't NATO's fueling of a proxy war, but the Biden administration not being, quote, serious about defeating Russia. Lindsey Graham praised Ortega's new appointment, saying she was, quote, literally the best pick he could have made, and that nobody has closer ties to Israel and understands the mischief of Iran. Did I predict that? Literally the best pick was not Trump's pick. It wasn't him, he said. Who's Lindsey Graham listening to then? What's his promotion? It's pretty clear. Closer ties, though, to Israel? As in being bound like a hostage? Trump is not a sovereign leader, but bound to war in capitulating to the neocon wing of the bird of prey, wanting it, planning it, and executing war to their profit and at your expense, despite a lack of declaration required by the Constitution. Did I say lawless? And do I continue to hear crickets being interrupted each and every broadcast? Is the problem we the people face, and if we the people will exist at all, because, well, the crickets. We have the duty and obligation to not be adult insects at all, but men and women that have reserved the right to alter and abolish maladministration in our government. And I don't mean just that as a phrase. It's as if we are, well, we're just dumb. I'm talking dumb. But how will Trump notice? Trump is not above being hawkish to the innocent itself. Trump refuses to rule out military takeover of Greenland. The United States president-elect has also refused to rule out retaking the Panama Canal. The U.S. president-elect Donald Trump has said he would not rule out military economic steps to retake control of the Panama Canal to acquire the Danish-controlled territory of Greenland. Asked during a press conference at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday if he could, quote, assure the world that he would not use military or economic coercion in his efforts to acquire either one, Trump said he would not. Quote, no, I can't assure you of neither one of those two, but I can say this, we need them for economic security, he said. Trump has repeatedly expressed his desire for the U.S. to buy Greenland from Denmark. Being no peacemaker, the global peace taker, the master of the art of the steel, sends an advanced surveillance party to Greenland. Just within probably hours of that statement, Trump's son, Donald Jr., arrived in Greenland on Tuesday on what he called a, quote, personal day trip, during which no meetings with government officials were planned. The younger Trump arrived in Greenland as a Trump-branded plane and told a crowd that his father says hello to everyone in Greenland. But watching his plane landing over in Greenland in a quick little video, just the thought of it, the unmitigated arrogance of the Billionaires Club is the only thing that came to my mind. Cool as that looked, but just the unmitigated arrogance here. U.S.-based tech mogul and close ally to Trump, Elon Muskerade, also appears supportive of the plan, posting on X that he believes that the people of Greenland, quote, want to be part of America, and that they'd be most welcome. In the face of the military takeover, the Danish King Frederik X, the King of Denmark, does the only thing he can do in preparation and changes his coat. Changing his coat of arms, royal coat of arms, enlarging with their own panel the polar bear since 1660 representing Greenland, and the ram representing since the 14th century the Faroe Islands, to emphasize the Kingdom of Denmark's ties to those islands and to the continuity of Denmark with its overseas territories, part of the Danish realm. Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen reiterated on Tuesday that Greenland is not for sale and never will be. Greenland belongs to the Greenlanders, she said. I want you to think about that. It belongs to the Greenlanders, she said. Oh, cool, huh? That'll show them. Trump will be afeared now, by gum. Not for sale. But Trump, the peace taker, doesn't rule out military force. And then, what's the United States' argument against Russia that we've been sending hundreds of billions to the last Ukrainian? What does the entire population agree with? That the U.S. hasn't surpassed in killing, fomenting, funding, and fronting the genocidal acts being committed in Ukraine and Palestine. The genocide in Palestine, of which most of the entire world, beyond talk, condemn, object to, and threaten, hasn't raised a finger to stop, that they would stop Trump making and taking this game piece, Greenland, and towards establishing the New World Order as planned and mapped out. I hope some of you have seen that map, that region's map for the New World Order regions. Did anybody notice that? I hope you did. Well, it's going to happen unless Denmark asks Russia to protect its security and territorial sovereign integrity, you think? Or maybe none of that is necessary, being the Prime Minister of Denmark also already given Greenland away by saying the decision will rest with the inhabitants of Greenland itself. It's theirs, folks. They get to decide where this is going. So if it's up for a vote of the people, then isn't it at that point? And the U.S. can be trusted to ensure a fraud-free vote, absent of any color revolution and usurpation, right? Ukraine? Order out of chaos. Democracy. Don't you love it? The United States military is already on Greenland anyway, right? I mean, don't you love it when the globalist plan comes together? Trust the plan, folks. Trust the plan. It's right there for us to trust. Also, on Tuesday, Trump promised to rename the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America because it has a beautiful ring and it is appropriate. That covers a lot of territory, the Gulf of America. What a beautiful name, he said. And then Russia will declare the sale of Alaska a lease that has expired, then call the Gulf of Alaska the Gulf of Russia. Beauty, eh? Then Doug Ford and his Kanukistans can fight Russia for a greater Yukon territory, I suppose. That the king of Denmark changed his coat of arms to the affront of Trump is an international trespass by Trump. Yeah, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right, Messi? Huh? You get that, right? It was when the king changed his coat of arms, when he acted in response, that meant the trespass by Trump. I hope you appreciate how this dynamic works. It's pretty startling to watch what's going on. A complete disregard, a complete failure. At this point, I don't have a lot of faith in us as people, nations. This literally has to roll out, and we will have to watch the worst of mankind develop to say, watch the change, if people aren't going to stand up to stop it. And we hear, again, beyond talk, objection, condemnation. It means talk until we're blue in the face, and we are, but nothing really changes. As I said, Doug Ford can be fighting for the Yukon territory against Russia because standing in the gap of Trudeau's escape from the ship of state, the counteroffers commenced. Doug Ford, premier of the Canadian province of Ontario, defends the honor of the Kanukistan and makes a counteroffer to Trump's threat to acquire Kanukistan and to further the global agenda. If you haven't seen the map again, you got to find it. It's out there. It's already been put in print. Again, it's a wish list, but it's already laid out. Someone's got it on their bingo card. With his Ministry of Environment, Conservation, and Parks, they say, quote, we're leaving no stone unturned in reducing greenhouse gas emissions in 2021. So you see where Doug Ford is actually at relative to this honor. No stone unturned, right, Mick Jagger? Which also means at their satanic majesty's request, right, Mick Jagger? Wanting to sit at the right hand of Satan for those earthly dominated treasures. King Charles is up with the takeover already. Notwithstanding Ford's valiant progressive nationalist effort, or even because of it, meeting the 2030 Paris Accords and all, he said. Again, no denial, no withhold, no objection, no destruction of those impositions on y'all in Ontario or Canada. But Doug Ford, countering Trump's trolling-ish, how about we buy Alaska? Ontario Premier made the suggestion after Donald Trump's claim that Canadians would be better off under Washington's thumb, and throw in Minnesota from America, too, to boot, he said. Canada is the greatest country in the world, and there is no way it'll fall under the rule of Washington, Ford told a journalist Monday. Quote, I will make him, Trump, a counteroffer. How about if we buy Alaska and throw in Minnesota and its main city, Minneapolis, at the same time, he quipped. So, you know, it's not realistic, the premier added. Ford said he was aware that the president, U.S. president-elect, likes making these comments, and he likes joking around by coming up with proposals like the one about the U.S. annexing Canada. Quote, I take that seriously. He may be joking, but under my watch, that will never, ever happen, he insisted. So which is it, a joke or reality? Canada's outgoing Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wrote on X on Sunday, on Tuesday, that there is not a snowball's chance in hell that Kazakhstan would become part of the U.S. Trudeau also argued that people in both countries benefit, quote, from being each other's biggest trading and security partner. But Trudeau's concurrence may not bode well for Ford's counteroffer. But what are either country going to do to pay for their offers? I started to look at. But this merger cannot, in the end, be considered America, as any merger, this would more likely, more properly be called Americastan. You're going to join America with Kazakhstan, it's got to be Americastan. And so you connect better start advocating for a proper name to preserve your identity in this absorption here. Don't let them run with it. If you name a thing, you control it. And when the Greenland is absorbed, or through military force, Americastan land should sound to be the more proper Greenland merger name. The Green Americastan land. Even a Doug Ontario will match 2030 targets Ford that Tinkerbell Trudeau could love. And that means if Trump is serious and not trolling, Trump will have to change his suggestion that the Gulf of Mexico be called the Gulf of America to calling it the Gulf of Americastan land to keep continental and island unity. And with that, I'm disappointed Trump didn't make any overtures for going all the way to the tippiest tip of Argentina to eliminate having to build a border wall. But bears next week. But there is a wrinkle in my anticipation, isn't there? The global New World Order map of the future for North Americastan region does not include the global south, do it? So maybe the guy behind the woodshed is high on opium, thinking it would be a peace on earth under Trump, not the huddled masses yearning to be one happy family when finding they are in the Siberian gulag. And maybe it is that Trump didn't act too brashly, but that he isn't really playing 6D chess at all either, and is staying within the confines his global masters, their satanic majesty's request, right, Mick Jagger, has planned for him to deliver the future that they want. Again, the Uniparty, the Unity Party, Unity, Pope fallibly and sustainably willing wins, not you. This is BTWRLM 611. And the Iberian Jewish aristocrats in Mexico make their move, making their claim for North America continent prior to 1700. Apparently, three can play this game of risk. Mexican president responds to Trump's Gulf of America proposal. Is everybody having fun yet? You're laughing underneath this, right? I hope so. Mexican president Claudia Sheinbaum, has hit back at U.S. president-elect Donald Trump's proposal to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Sheinbaum suggested that the U.S. revert to a historic name for the territory, America Mexicana, or Mexican America. She made the comment standing in front of a 17th century world map alongside former Culture Secretary Jose Alfonso Suarez del Rio, at the press briefing Wednesday. She was referring to Trump's pledge earlier this week to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America because it was a beautiful ring. It has a beautiful ring and is appropriate. But why don't we call it America Mexicana? It sounds pretty, no? Isn't that true? Sheinbaum said. She pointed to a 1607 map displayed on stage, which showed an early image of the territory of North America that is now the U.S., Mexico, and part of Kanukistan when it was called Canada. A map to boot, the Reclamation Project. So who's trolling who? Climate change is old news. It's not the heat that is on. Now it's the troll is on. Well, until the United States military comes to visit on a personal day trip. Order out of chaos, remember? Right, Trump? Or maybe 4D Tress insulting the Europeans enough to agree when Trump offers that the United States disengage and Europe puts up its big boy pants, it puts them on and defends itself from itself because it isn't a boot, any Russian threat, right, Kanukistan? I know, more hopium behind the woodshed, but it could happen, right? Right? And so Iran steps up with these offers in all this chaos that's being made, before the guy gets in office, actually. Here, get that. And he begins to almost help this global chaos with the hawkish Trump's chosen handlers, because they're on the other side of this hook. Iran warns Israel to a potential large-scale war. Iranian foreign minister hopes reason will prevail within the Israeli leadership. Israel risks triggering a large-scale war if it launches another military attack on Tehran. Iran Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has told Chinese media while stressing his country's commitment to diplomatic efforts and readiness to respond to aggression, despite that there is no negotiating with Israel. Don't forget that. Quote, "We are fully prepared for the possibility of further attacks by Israel," Araghchi said. Quote, "I hope Israel will refrain from taking such reckless actions as it could lead to a large-scale war. We believe that reason will ultimately prevail and prevent the actions that could have serious consequences." As if genocide is less reckless action than all nations, including Iran, have the duty to stop without further delay, but they talk. Last month, United States President Joe Biden reportedly convened a high-level meeting to discuss possible military actions against Iran amid concerns that Tehran might accelerate its nuclear weapons development due to its weakened regional position. The point being that Syria was taken over. But that weakened regional position is what caused by the United States and Israel. Iran has consistently denied pursuing nuclear weapons, maintaining that its nuclear program is intended solely for peaceful purposes. In a separate interview published on Thursday, Araghchi reiterated Tehran's stance on peaceful nuclear energy, emphasizing that negotiations remain possible if Iran is treated with respect. Let me offer here. It seems that seems to be tied with everybody that's in the global south or even in the Asian countries. They don't feel that they're being respected one little bit. And looking at it, hopefully objectively, but from behind the woodshed, I don't think they have. As I said, when I mentioned that the United States doesn't want diplomacy, that's an insult. That's a disrespect right on its face. Without diplomacy, you're likely going to go into serious problems. That's a disrespect. That's an insult. And so they have, I think they're fair to say, or insist on this respect, whatever we may or may not feel about any types of people or nations. Quote, the more they impose sanctions and pressure on Iran, the more Iran will show resistance, Araghchi said, warning that coercion would be ineffective. I didn't touch on the coercion. I thought to, but I didn't. Let me touch it right here. Coercion, that's a felony. It's a felony of a right someone has in something. And that's being violated by Trump or Israel. Again, I think they're fair to assert their rights and have them respected. If you need an explanation, that's best I can come up with really quick. when I'm reading these news, that I would want to be respected within my rights, and those rights cannot, should, and ought not be coerced, and an attempt to coerce them is certainly the allegation of the assertion. If they actually interfere with it, that's actually the felony. And we would, I would hope, that we would hope and expect ourselves that our diplomats, our diplomacy, our interactions with other nations would be at that level. And I can tell you, in my lifetime, I've watched it disappear. In fact, the United States is out saying outwardly it will not negotiate. It will not, it's closing its diplomatic ties. He specifically referenced the maximum pressure policy employed by the United States during President-elect Donald Trump's first term. So the big messiah to the rescue, peace and goodwill towards men, right? Except Iran, Syria, Russia, China, Greenland, Kazakhstan, and how many more did Trump threaten? Now, Iran is offering military help on top to those countries threatened by the great Satan. What a troll fest this has become. Who will Trump whom as we looked at what's going on? This is actually pretty fun. I hope you pick up a little bit of that. It's deadly serious, but what an interesting game being played. On the one hand, that can be considered fun, creating a lot of chaos, and so we got to be careful. But on the other hand, not so fun. We may have diplomatic things going on out in the world, everyone making their pitch, but this could turn deadly really quickly. And it's an interesting game to play. My contention is the United States shouldn't be playing it. And everyone's wary now in lots of ways. But Iran has now stepped up. Lots of nations are stepping up to say, talk, that there will help to defend these countries, help them defend themselves from the great Satan, if you will, through what we've heard come out of Iran. And we have this whole regional, Middle East regional thing. I started at the beginning of the broadcast with some of that news, bring it up again. Just now went away, come back. What's going on in the world? The dust is being thrown in the air. The fog is in the air. It's got a stench to it. Yeah, we even see it in our own country. And this is looking like it's developing a potential to have a strike happen somewhere, setting up things. And it starts to cause everyone to be concerned for themselves. I'm talking nationally. Thank you here to a listener in the Middle East, and an agent there, a listener to the BitChute behind the woodshed. And I don't know if I ever mentioned this particular article, but I did mention similarities in the capabilities of this. And so I wanted to bring this, thank you for bringing it, to act as a reminder on, how far back this can start going. We kind of tend to think, even Mayorkas, 10 years. No, this goes back and goes back and goes back. But this issue going on, the potential that's being built while all this dust is being put in the air by Trump, whether it's trolling or not, jokes or real, is the other question. But we'll watch as that goes on. But underneath this reminder of what's going on through Israel, Israel's diabolical genetic weapons targets Arabs. And again, this article or author was focused on Arabs. If they can target any characteristic in anyone or group of people, this is talking to all of us. And we can clearly understand what's been going on or likely going on as we read through this back when they knew there was some interaction, even if it's denied, and we understand what's happening in Ukraine and around Georgia and the Tbilisi Luger weapons lab, bioweapons lab. All this is going after us as people, as peculiarities that are identified. And as I broke into the broadcast this time, the genetic condition of the microplastics, what are those? Are nano electrical devices or self-assembling devices? That's all they're telling us there as well. All. What a catastrophe. But they do certain things. A reminder. Thank you again to the BitChute listener. And to the other BitChute commenter, I did answer, but I'll say it broadcast wide. I only go to the BitChute to comment if I get a notification And that happens about once a week. So if you'll be patient, if you're looking for an answer. Otherwise, go ahead and comment. There's some people that have commented. I should actually take out their comments because they're really stupid. And I say that because they are not based in anything. They're just these opinions going on and on and on. But I leave them there. So I'll tolerate even that much. Maybe those of you that understand what I just said, it's not backed up by something. Go read that and understand how it's not backed up and educate yourself to how someone can overwhelm you with information, and largely it's just not applicable. It's not correct. It's not properly applied. It's not even speaking to the subject matter. But it's a place for people to let loose, I go, get it off their chest, I suppose. But here's an article that reminds us of the total, again, the title, Israel's Diabolical Genetic Weapons Target Arabs. And I want to expand this to even the Slavs, any group of people that can be identified genetically. From the Muslim media of December 1 to 15, 1998. And I'll interject one more quick thing. A couple things that did come to mind, whether it was this article or not, was that we had evidence and the reports that were saying that Israel could develop DNA to put you at the scene of the crime. A crime. They had developed DNA in order to mimic DNA from anyone they targeted. That they could specifically get it down to one individual if they had to. So this is those reports are after 1998. Those had to be after when I started broadcasting. So this is a reminder, and I appreciate I'm going to read it. I'll read parts of it. There's going to be more here, but Israel scientists are working on genetically targeted biological weapon which would kill Arabs without affecting other peoples, the Sunday Times of London revealed on November 15th. And I also want to interject, remember that the Zionists were all over inoculating with vaccines the Palestinians for all the harm they were causing them from the lack of fresh water and sanitation, all that. They were right in to get everyone vaccinated, if you remember. This also spoke to that. The reports are based on information gathered in Israel, London, America, and South Africa, and given credibility by the Sunday Times record of monitoring Israeli intelligence affairs, including its publication of nuclear secrets revealed by former Israeli nuclear technician Mordechai Vanunu in 1986. The genetic weapons research program is reportedly based on the Institute of Biological Research in Tzionah, outside of Tel Aviv. It is known to be Israel's main research facility for weapons of mass destruction and home of Israel's illegal and secret arsenal of chemical and biological weapons. And if I can expand this a little bit more, when I said weapons of mass destruction, the United States didn't go attack Israel for its weapons of mass destruction. Did they? No, they went over there and got Saddam Hussein, didn't they? And so, this is and what do you say? This is how this works. And here's a note, continue. The proposed new weapon is based on recent Western, and I say that again, the proposed new weapon is based on recent Western advances in genetics, including the animal and human cloning programs that would work by identifying genes exclusively carried by Arabs or certain kinds of Arabs. Special viruses designed to attack people carrying these genes could be then spread in Arab countries by spraying in the air or by infecting public water supplies. Let me interject. You heard the CDC come out and talk about the water supplies in the great COVID swindle. You watched how the new mRNA technology almost appears to say, do what this verse here, this paragraph says. So, let's add that into the mix as I read through this again. Again, just a reminder of where Israel has come from, what the United States has contributed to, while we're supposed to have someone that's on the throne of the American kingmanship here with Trump, who now puts people into places because somebody else suggested it, even though he knows better. These things don't normally work out, but we're going to try it. Hopefully it'll work out. Well, Israel's been doing stuff that does work out. Israel, of course, has denied reports as it continues to officially deny having a nuclear weapons, even though it's now widely acknowledged, even by its Western allies, that it has a standing nuclear capability of about 200 warheads. It is interesting to note that the Israeli research program is similar to the research carried out in South Africa during the apartheid period to develop genetic weapons which could attack target blacks without affecting whites. Let me interject about the report I read behind the woodshed, that I had to go through an extended research to finally get AI to give me the answer that Israel had worked with South Africa. Here's a backup written in 1998, long before me, but confirmed after extensive refining of a question to an AI that finally put out enough information to tie all these characters together. Details of this research emerged during the recent Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings in South Africa. The apartheid regime also had advanced chemical weapons programs, which it developed in cooperation with the United States, Britain, Canada, Japan, and Germany. Germany. And there's an archived designation for a date of 1998 relative to the West colluding with the apartheid regime on biological weapons from the same Muslim Medium Archives. It is known to have worked closely with Israel in various military and defense areas. Direct cooperation between the U.S. and Israel in the development of chemical weapons has revealed on October 1st this year when Israel was forced to admit that an El Al cargo aircraft, which crashed in Amsterdam in October 1992, was carrying ingredients for chemical weapons being sent from Solcotronic Chemicals Incorporated in Morrisville, Pennsylvania Company in the United States to the Nesona Research Center. The ingredient, dimethyl methyl phosphonate, is used in making deadly poison gas called sarin. The genetic weapons research program is built on scientific advances in genetics in which the United States and British scientists lead the field. I'd say at warp speed, using Israeli-run pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, you think? It's unlikely that Israel would be able to work in this area without privileged access to the latest work being done in the United States and Britain. Nor indeed are Western powers likely to permit Israel to develop weapons capabilities they do not already have themselves. Let's go get Saddam Hussein. The Israeli work breaches numerous international laws and agreements, but has not even been raised in the United Nations or any other international forum. The suspicion is reinforced by the total lack of Western response to these Sunday Times revelations. So let's just kind of run that back through your mind, your studies, my studies, what I've reported on, all the denials by the governments that they go on that are perpetrating these things against us. And then I run ourselves up to the great Comey swindle. And then it makes it even easier. If I'd have remembered this story, we would probably had it even sooner. If I'd have remembered this or seen it, maybe I never did present it. So thank you very much to the BitChute contributor, dropping a link there. And again, things that are relevant to my discussion, I highly agree to have. If it's just offshoot stuff, no. But I appreciate this because it's going to help reinforce our knowledge as we go on. I can only see so much. And I hope that there's more people that have things. And as I say that, I'm thinking, those of you that do this study, that remember this stuff, that have a big library in your mind about this and can put it together, why don't you contact Sound Minds at Real Liberty Media and become a content provider. Commit to some time every week, maybe once a week, maybe do it once a day, and see start getting yourself your information out there. Again, I can only get out to so much. And Sound Minds tells me he's got the new schedulers running, and I hope you saw that. It's now going through and has lots of content there, and there's going to be places for people to step in and provide content that'll be placed over the reproduced stuff. So we can get back to being a network and actually put a scheduling system together and have hosts that can do what we need to have done to give people live information fast and continuous. So thank you to the content, and remind me of this, but my mind, I'll let you know. It started to put two and two together again. If we had known this in 1998, boy, that was before 9/11, wasn't it? We would have maybe been able to turn our attention a little bit quicker to all that instead of having to go through our learning about it. because it only came out slowly over time. What I was telling you was going on, the great COVID swindle starting, telling you in 2019, getting into 2020 before March, as we're walking in, I said, you're going to see effects of this in the future. We're going to hear the truth come out, but it's not going to happen for 2 to 3, maybe 4 years. And here we were, 3 to 5 years, even later. So this is how this starts to work, unless we're very, very aware. So another killer, another planned, in my mind, killer, and this is either planned by omission to do the right thing, or the plan to take out stuff using a weapon, another style of weapon, and there's lots of players in this one. Now, this is homegrown everywhere. California wildfires, unexpected links to the U.S. Green Lobby in Ukraine. And I'm reading this as an example. I don't necessarily want to get focused that this is it. There's a whole lot behind these wildfires. And maybe there's a whole lot of nothing, too, in that they are natural. Remember, California burns. It's a Mediterranean environment, climate. Not climate change. It's a Mediterranean environment. They have a condition down there called the Santa Ana winds. They are hurricane force. They're nothing to be messing with when there's a fire. And so then we have the coincidence of these fires. And that's one of the interesting problems I'm having right now. And I guess I'll say it now. I may repeat myself when I get down through this. I cannot find anybody reporting on a cause. No one has reported on an ignition source. They talk about everything else under the wind, but they won't talk about an ignition source. They surmise what it could be. There are some correlations, which I would believe, but that doesn't say it either. So there's a wide open field on this. A lot of people making correlations to Maui, Lahaina. And so this is there. All this is sitting there. Lots of skullduggery, it sounds like to me. But the thing is, there's no excuse given that they know. But I'm going to go through this a little bit. I want to remind us about these things. And because there's indications things are coming, and as I've told you, I guess this is the main thing I have come away with. I've told you the laws are set up before we get to the time that they're executed, long before. People are dead and gone before these laws start to come in, or close to it, and then they get implemented. And I think these conditions have been set up here to do this. And we then can see how it works into a future plan. And my point is, we were involved, I was involved, in an analyzing wildfires. And I've talked to you about that behind the woodshed on how that goes on, and looked at all the laws and the policies and how to bring it forward and how to do it right. And so there's a way to approach this, but we're not going to do it by conjecture. And this stuff is a killer. It's an equal opportunity destroyer. And so it's a very, very, it's very effective, first of all, but it's something you have to have a special mind about to put your mind on. You do have to put your attention to this stuff. Instead of going off on the deep end of, well, how can this happen? How can a tree be standing there and the building be burned? How can it be burning from the inside and not the tree outside? I just think that people haven't seen fire. Fire is very interesting. Winds, especially, are combining to that. And then hurricane force winds. I don't think people appreciate what a blowtorch does. A blowtorch that's hundreds of acres big. Notwithstanding all that, we'll read some of this. The California wildfires, unexpected links to Green Lobby. Now, I read this part, and this story amongst many others, is because you know what I talked about relative to the wildfires. And remember, this is in an urban area, actually. There's only one, or maybe two, that are started from a wild area, you know, like a national forest. And that was another key of what's going on. So don't just blanket this whole thing either, even though I'm going to sound a little bit like blanketing a little bit of it. Multiple fires have spread across the Los Angeles area since Tuesday, driven by an extremely dry condition and high winds. Tens of thousands of people have evacuated as firefighters struggle to contain flames. At least 5 people have died in uncontained wildfires raging across Los Angeles County, with the death toll expected to rise. I need to interject, wildfires. Yes, there's hillsides with brush. When you see whole tracts of houses, hundreds and hundreds, turned to dust, that's urban. It's not necessarily a wildfire. Yeah, it's a wildfire, but it isn't from the natural wild source, actually. So let's watch how we got to be careful on what the authorities are, who has the authorities, the jurisdictions, and all. And I guess that's the thing I bring to myself when I'm reading. I'm thinking about all this. Who was in charge? Who was supposed to be in charge? What were the decisions that made that led up to this? As I'm reading for all these things, who was making those decisions? Who wasn't making those decisions? Who didn't catch this stuff? It's just something I happened to do when we were doing it for the wild, literal wildlands, the Forest Service, BLM, where they are wild. But the urban, they've got an urban interface. That's inside. What we're seeing is inside the urban interface. So you got to be kind of all knowledgeable about that. But some are blaming green policies for exacerbating disaster. Here's why. Environmental regulations, the green lobby has pushed for changes to the traditional fire management policies. I've talked about this very particular problem right here. Just to give you a clue, you're not supposed to manage fire. You're supposed to suppress it. And that's what I had to tell Alex Jones. You don't rake the forest. You don't thin the forest. You don't mitigate the fire. You suppress it. You stop it. You shut it down. You manage for sustained yield harvest. And you clean up as you go. And then you manage that watershed to be the least susceptible, to be what they call self-extinguishing. And I can see here, none of that was done. But anyway, moving on to these stories. There's a really real travesty here of what's going on. But here we go right to the wildfire side of this, the U.S. Forest Service. For example, the U.S. Forest Service announced on October 24, 2024, that it had suspended prescribed burning in California, quote, for the foreseeable future. Well, that said a ton. But what this ends up doing, it's a backwards work. When you suspend the prescription burning, which they should have, they didn't do the harvesting that they should have. And so what they've did, and someone thought about this to do this, because what happened, I think it was in New Mexico, and all those places burned up where they were doing prescribed fires, where we were saying as well, shut those down. They don't do the selected harvest or the sustained yield harvest to get rid of the fuels. And we would use them. That's money-making type stuff. That's building-making type stuff. That's raw materials that are coming out of the forest in a sustainable fashion. When you go back to replant, you look at your watershed and you only plant what it will survive, what will stop a fire for most instances. The problem with the Southern California and those winds, the Santa Ana winds, I don't know that you can have a tree there without about the problem. So it's a little bit different and more difficult. What they shouldn't do, though, certainly, is to mitigate or stop water dams from being built. But that's a different issue as well. And so the green lobby is important here, but it's not the only thing, and I don't want to get beaten on just the green part. This is a wide spectrum problem that's going on, and you watch how profit was being made to the detriment of people now when the worst happens. So they suspended the prescribed burning, which they should have done. And not generally. I mean, there's prescription burning that could be done, but it's done in a certain time of year when you're not going to have these problems. They didn't go to thinning project. They didn't go to harvesting. And for foreseeable future. So they basically allowed fuel loads to increase since that report, and they had been doing it when they made the report. Prescribed burns are controlled fires that remove dry vegetation, which otherwise fuels wildfires and allows them to spread to taller vegetation. Again, this is an urban area in LA, not a wild area, and this is true that they can, but they have to be controlled. And what happens is they become controlled and then managed, and they're managed outside of the area that should have been controlled and outside of a time they could be controlled. The word controlled is kind of doesn't exist at some point. They're supposed to be controlled, but they end up not being, because there's a lot of money in this. It's almost like a money laundering system. International, too. Remember, lots of places you'll hear, the Australian fire crew showed up to manage this fire. Well, you're not supposed to manage it. You're supposed to suppress it, kill it, get rid of it. Critics argue that this suppression has left California more vulnerable to large scale wildfires. You see, they throw the word in there, suppression, but it's not in the right context. And I know maybe somebody, you don't, it's winter. You're not caring. This is from California. It's winter. They're having fires. You don't know when the fire is going to come through in these types of areas. And this will then change for those of you that do have summers. This turns into you and what they've been doing. And you've heard it over and over and over. Advocates for limiting prescribed burns cite several reasons, such as prioritizing staff and resources for actual wildfire suppression, alleged risks to air quality, ecosystems, and carbon emissions in the context of climate change. That's the green side. But let me get back to that. The offset of that, they trade money for suppression from what they call then thinning. That's the wrong way to do it, right? In Oregon, they did it to where the industry pays for all that. And it was profitable on top of it. It worked. So that's a bad statement to be listening to when they're talking about it, and they never go to suppression. That's the other problem. The critics of research say in 2023 study of a Columbia and Stanford researchers found low-intensity fires, including prescribed burns, reduce wildfire risk up to 60% if they're controlled and at the right time of the year. But they aren't. Fire, again, there is a way to do this, but that's, they focus on one thing. They don't do a holistic, if you will. It's not really fire ecology they use. And I'm talking as someone who has access to a papered fire ecologist who has done some remarkable things in fire suppression efforts to stop these wildland fires from taking over, burning down buildings. In fact, up in eastern Oregon, a number of houses that he had people put in the fire suppression water systems did not burn. None of them did in their wildland fires with immense winds, like this. So it has to be done correctly. But moving on to this, Firefighters United in Safety, Ethics, and Ecology warns that the blocking prescribed burns increase fire severity. In some areas, I would say, yeah. The fire surrogate study found prescribed burning and restoration thinning to be very effective in reducing catastrophic wildfire risk in California. The California Policy Center emphasizes that thinning forests is crucial for mitigating fire hazards. No, you don't thin a forest. You harvest it in a sustained yield manner. And I don't hear the word watershed here yet once. But that is what's dictating to the procedure and management of the forest, not the fire. So anyway, I'm trying to show you as we're going through this, maybe you can hear my irritation. I see a lot of information, but much different than Alex Jones, on the wrong points, emphasizing in the wrong ways, the wrong things, and it sets people's minds into a place that they don't even understand what they really should be going on or what they should be listening for. So when you hear it in your news, what they're doing, you could say, wait a minute. And you list out what should have been done instead of focusing on, see, they want to do prescribed burns. And as I read this through, I'm wondering how much effect we really did to kill those prescribed burns, and then particularly because of what happened in New Mexico. And I talked to you about all of that. The money trail, spending on environmental lobbying, has surged during the Biden administration. U.S. environmental groups spent approximately $30.5 million in federal lobbying in 2023, with Nature Conservancy leading to the top spender, according to Open Secrets in the Ukraine. In Open Secrets. Now, the Ukraine connection. An uncontained deadly wildfire ravaged Southern California. The Los Angeles County Fire Department has dug itself into a hole in its overzealous effort to support Ukraine. Who'd have thunk it, folks? In 2022, the department donated surplus equipment to Ukraine, as reported by ABC7. That gear could have been critical in addressing today's crisis. But I'm going to emphasize, to be fair, the word could. These fires are so weird that I don't know. Could's a good word right here. Normally I would say, wait a minute. But could, you don't know. We don't know what the equipment was. We don't know if there could be manned. We don't know if it would have been effective in this situation. What equipment goes up against a blowtorch? I don't know. I'm talking about a territory-wide blowtorch. what is effective for that? It's too late there. In fact, I find myself frustrated. I can't talk with people. after the fact of them, their places being destroyed and ask questions. It's too late. It doesn't matter to them. Further compounding the issue, Mayor Karen Bass reduced the Los Angeles Fire Department budget to $17.6 million for the 2024-2025 fiscal year, while earlier proposing a $23 million reduction. The city has also been grappling with federal firefighter shortages since 2020. All that tells me is they should have had a fire plan to have every able-bodied being on those hills ready to fight fire. According to Fox News, fewer than 4,000 L.A. Fire Department personnel are tasked with serving a population of 4 million. However, the outgoing Biden administration is fast-tracking as much aid to the regime of Kiev as it can. This is no different a story than we heard what happened to North Carolina, correct? I mean, this is what this regime does, but it's what the governments do. And I don't know what to speak to there. I don't know how we, the people, get a handle on this. I know that when we focused on this problem with the wildfires, that the prescribed burns needed to be stopped at the wrong time of year or in the wrong place, in the wrong watersheds. But when we got the people local to understand it, the county commissioners to understand where the real authority was in the Wildfire Policy Act National, it says it's local, and those people start working on suppression. I told you how in 2 years following that, the fires went out. They didn't hardly get happen. And then I also told you I predicted after a time, probably 3 years, we were going to watch arson, and you saw it. Now we're going to get to a little bit of that here. Okay, so this is almost predictable, but not in a way. You can't really predict it. You don't know when the arsons are going to come out. But the indicators started to pop up here over the last few years that started to lead me into this idea that this was no different than what happened if you heard, quite a few years ago, Oregon I-5 corridor was on fire all the way north to south. And that was 3 years after we got the South to shut down all the fires by suppression, not fire management, by local control. And people are good. I don't want to diss on anybody. We got good firefighters. Firefighters are that way, I think. You just put the fire out. And it's mind-boggling to hear firefighters saying, but they want us to keep burning. You know, just like everybody knows it should be put out. But anyway, going to fast-track more money to Kiev? Yeah, we the people need it. No, it goes away. Is that going to change under Trump? I don't know. But when I see if it's true what Alex Jones said relative to what Trump said relative to these forest fires, I don't think they have an idea still. And I say that in relation to knowing a thing behind the scenes that Trump selected the commissioner we worked with to go to Washington, D.C. to explain what she had and their county had come up with. And no one pays attention too close to understand what they're really doing, as I was able to pick out in the great Covey swindle. It's not a judgment for me. I just see what that things just aren't coming together. It's quite right. And guess what? It has to do with language. I've told you this over and over and over. You can identify if someone understands the subject matter if they know the language. And so it's there to be, you can do your checks and balances pretty quick. And nobody has the right language going on. This article is deceptive as well. But it brings out these connections that suck the vitality of the firefight out. And then they have these hierarchies built in. And again, you know, anybody in the military knows you have a chain of command. And those are important. But they're deadly when the chain of command doesn't work. Or the chain of command knows it has nothing to work with. And the way the property's been segmented, the people, there's a specialist everywhere. Like I said, if they don't have firefighters, then everybody should be encouraged and trained on how to fight fires, especially in your fire-prone area. So the keys were coming up, the clues were coming along. So in all this, it also turns out, and more to what I'm looking at, it turns out that about 4 years ago, the project called Smart City Los Angeles 2028 appeared. And so I think that pretty much speaks for itself. And now they're going to go back. I've explained all this, but the insurance got pulled 4 months ago in most of the places. Almost all the insurance companies bailed, and then the fires come. And they're coming in the urban areas. Only one fire. Only one fire was started in the Forest Service forest area. And so that's, again, what's the ignition source? I have not found it yet. So we see in another report, even from PBS, which you think, you know, the government, they want to do whatever their plans are nationally. Prescribed, you heard the last story, prescribed bird. Well, not really. And I would say no, as long as you're doing sustained yield harvesting. But you can't stop if you're not going to do that harvesting. And then your watershed dictates whether or not you're going to be able to do what your needs are. And in Southern California, I may say, depending on the type of things they have, but there's so much housing. In fact, there should have been a housing thinning, the way I see some of that. There was no spaces to protect. There's no defensible space at all. And you see what's going on. But there may not be harvestable trees down in the valley. And then you do have a brush cleaning problem. And that's just a matter of putting people on it, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about your whole society being burnt out. But we also know that's a tool, right? Burn you out. New smart city, and smart's not too intelligent, but there's a lot of profit behind it, isn't there? And control, and money and taxes, right? So there's no correlation to climate change, we'll hear, but there's a correlation to increased power lines. Again, not a statement of ignition source, but a propensity. Now, you'll hear most stories talk about climate change. This report, even coming out of PBS, didn't say that. It was pretty interesting. They actually went and talked to a fire ecologist. And it says here also that orchards were used previously to buffer the fires from the national forest. So when agriculture was more important, the orchards helped to buffer the fires. Now, think about an orchard, how they're laid out. There's not a dense population of trees, is there? And there's ground space and it's taken care of. And there's profit being made by the proper use of that land. Consider that part as well. Going to agriculture, the orchards help to defeat and be a buffer to these wildfires. And that attests to proper forest management and field densities relative to the particular watershed dynamics. And pointing to the BLM and Forest Service forest mismanagement, as I've explained, we proved at the JMD, you can see at JMD website, jfjeffersonmightydistrict.com, and you scroll down, there's a fire class map. What shows you what the class of fire, they don't even use this anymore. It's underneath the heading called Planned Fire Catastrophe. The S in catastrophe is a dollar sign. So find that map, and you'll notice if you look carefully, and it's a small map, you can blow it up for yourself. There should be no class 3 areas on that map. That's catastrophe. It can't be stopped. There should be very few class 2 areas. And the class 3 catastrophe is known, why it's not shouldn't be an area that's managed to class 3 density fuel loads, is that's a catastrophic, unstoppable fire. Once it starts in the area, it cannot be taken out by man. Only nature can stop it, as we would understand for those areas, winter. That's a map of Oregon, southern Oregon as well. Winter comes and it takes the fire out. It could be a late winter, though. But there's no amount of effort you can put to the fire that's going to stop it. You're just going to try to defend against properties that, as they do, houses and things, buildings. So you can see from that map, the Forest Service cares very little about its catastrophic management policy. And in fact, that map is no longer the standard. The federal agencies hide their mismanagement with the new risk potential map, which are inadequate for the proper forest management. They want to call it the forest management or fire mitigation, as AJ called it, because the federal agencies work on the grand global money laundering scheme of fire management by foreign agencies, not suppression. As you'll hear over and over, they pulled a crew in from some other foreign country to come in and manage the fire. And that's in absence of a local county government that insisting and requiring the suppression, as we found out we did that. And the next 2 years until the arsonists hit, shut them down, shut all the fires right down. I've explained this, and we've helped to accomplish that. And it worked to great effect. And all we did, that started by reading the National Wildfire Policy Act. It's all in there. And yet you watch these agencies violate it because nobody knows to stop it. You know, again, the LA fires, like I said, only one instance was a Forest Service land. It came from a canyon. The other brush fires, again, I can't find an ignition source. I don't know what it is. The Santa Ana winds didn't ignite those grasses. So I'm suspecting here that we're looking at an intentionally set man-made fires, like we've already experienced in Oregon those 2 years ago. 2 years before. So anyway, I'll give you I said jeffersonminingdistrict.com in the blogcaster. You get a link, maybe at the link tree from Sound Minds, wherever you find us playing the content. You maybe find the link there, just jeffersonminingdistrict.com. Scroll down and find that little map just to get it, familiarize yourself with this condition. And then move your mind. You'll notice nothing, no word I said watershed. There's no analysis of that. There needs to be. And then you need to manage each one of those watersheds by its demands. And there's a ton of stuff that needs to be known. It's really fascinating, amazing type amount of information that you must gather in order to do this properly. That I don't hear anybody doing it because at least the federal agencies are saying fire management. And it requires the local counties to say, no, we want fire suppression. Get on it right now. And the fire authority is really the local government. It's not the federal authority. What the local government doesn't know that. Or you tell them and they forget quickly. And they're easy to persuade. It happened here as well. We had 3 or 4 counties that were together. The third or fourth year, there was fires going on. A young firefighter died. It was an accident. It happens, but no one wants to see it. But a firefighter died. Wrong place, right time. And a fire came through. And the Forest Service used that, or it might have been the BLM, used that to gain control from the county. And everybody said, take it. Instead of saying, no, that's training. That was a condition. We still want suppression. And we're going to make sure that that happens. In other words, the Forest Service or the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, will throw your firefighters out. You saw that the FEMA goes in and starts to throw people out. It's like they take control. And you really can't let that happen. So I'm really suspect what's going on. Certainly most people are. I'm not the only one. I would hope that we use this as an object lesson to understand there's a lot around fire, a lot of things happening. How do you stop it? What's going on? Whether or not there was water in a reservoir, what people's opinions about that are. Certainly there's some major problems that just got caught that need to be fixed, but I can suggest that until people locally have an idea, when you're looking out and you realize, what was it? It was James Wood saying, they live in a fire-prone area. I'm thinking, why isn't everybody putting water suppression units on their houses? Self-contained water suppression units. You can have recyclable systems. And I know that because my colleague designed that for a couple of his houses, and they were the ones that survived. Especially if you have a pool. I mean, unless you just don't have the space, who in the LA doesn't have a pool, it seems? I noticed lots of them. That's a pretty good reservoir, protected reservoir to use when your water goes down in whatever, if there's no water sitting in the pipes because everybody's house is burned down and all the hoses are now spraying water and nobody knows to go shut them down or they can't get in, you still have a reservoir of water on your property. You got your own pumps? Yeah, it's going to be expensive, but you're talking about saving your house. Especially now, you're in a fire-prone area, as James Wood said, and most everybody lost their insurance 4 months before. And 4 years before, they hear of a smart city coming. Most people wouldn't pay attention to that, wouldn't know a clue about that. Most people don't. I'm not judging that. But when you lose your insurance and you're in a fire-prone area, you don't look to be protective of your own property. See, the government's not going to do it. The profiteers aren't going to do it. So I'm troubled by this. Again, the great Kobe swindle is in these fires. If you hear me a little bit on this, it's in our hands. It's in local authority done correctly. And it really is written right there to do so. And so I want people to be more aware than the Greens did it. Oh, DEI. Yeah, that could have contributed. And yeah, I've seen some pretty stupid statements coming out of some people that would seat the decision. But a firefighter should stand up then and say, that ain't working. That's not going to work. And work to get the support back that you need to really put that back in place. It really was quite amazing. I have to say, once we got people thinking about suppression again, because they used to, and it turned it to local. See, people will defend their house more than the feds might coming from Australia. And I got a little bit of this when we fought fire and forest fires. When our town was threatened, we jumped out and we fought that fire to the death. We killed it. We didn't hang around. We didn't wait for fire management. We got chastised for putting fire lines out. They thought we could only go in a quarter of a mile. By the end of that day, we were over a three quarters of a mile in through a forest. We built a highway for a fire break. We could send a truck through the darn thing. There was no fire coming again unless the wind came up. And they got mad at us. And they didn't think we could go so far. The locals will protect their own homes. The feds could care less. They're on a different process. I don't know what the answer is down south, but when you got these Santa Ana winds, blowtorch, hurricane force blowtorches, folks, please. First of all, get out when you can on that. And don't do what I saw some videos are saying, well, we could do this, we could wet down the roof when the fire's right there. You're probably too late and you're running out of answers and you're also behind the problem. Don't ever get behind your problem, especially that one. So I'm just real concerned. Certainly people have lost their stuff. I don't know what to say about that anymore. But I'm also concerned when you hear the story of a smart city coming in, it's not going to change, actually. They're not looking out for you. And all that devastation is nobody looked out for you. And I want you to expand that to other things like your health. What they did to us in the Great COVID Swindle. Like your government, actually. You blow it out a little farther. Like what we do to other governments as well. All the same method in my mind. I don't know about you. On how this stuff gets contorted, it gets cloistered and protected by a few to do their dastardly deeds. For whatever reason, I haven't figured out why. Maybe they're arsonists that are supposed to be doing fire management. I don't know. We hear enough of that, don't we? This is BTWRLM 611. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
It goes cold. The hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.